So we're going to talk a little bit more about walking, which Dr. Bowling started us out with. E. Stanley Jones, I think we remember, was a 20th century Methodist missionary and a theologian. He impacts us with a very strong message that we enter the kingdom of God personally, but we live it corporately. That's, to me, is essentially important. Salvation is, of course, individual. Christ calls each of us to a personal decision to make him Lord of our lives. But then from there, we have to enter, we actually enter the family of God, and that's a lifelong journey with our fellow brothers and sisters within the body of Christ. And if we were to live this Christian life in a normal world, I'm not sure what a normal world is, with normal world conditions, it's to be lived together in community. I think we all understand that to be the church. So if you haven't been exiled to Patmos as for your faith, as John the Apostle was, or if you haven't been put in a concentration camp as a Dietrich Bonhoeffer, we are not expected to go this journey alone. There's a hymn that says, if I can use a little bit of liberty, it's a hymn that says, we travel along, it's just Jesus and me, no more and no less, just Jesus and me. Here's the liberty I want to take. That is wrong. Great hymn, great verse. But it's not good theology, is it? The individualistic emphasis of at least the North American culture influences us to think of our relationship with Christ as something exclusive, something personal. And it is that. But it's also the idea of we're in this thing with many, many people that cross all kinds of borders, whether they're actual physical borders or psychological borders. So that philosophy would tempt us to see the narrow road as a private lane, you know, to make our own decisions in kind of almost a vacuum and to look first to our personal interests. I think something I learned about Central American culture was that's probably more European and United States kind of philosophy than other parts of the world. But the Bible is clear. Our journey is, of course, personal. We enter into it personally, individually, but it's also corporate. Scripture uses several terms to show us the corporate character of the Christian life. So we're called the church. We are koinonia. We are the community of believers. In 1 Corinthians 12, I think verses 12, and then picking out a few of them through 27, it says this: the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And then it continues later on, and it says, he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have this supremacy. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up my flesh, which is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. And that last part of that scripture is actually from Colossians chapter 1. So within the body and with Christ as our head, our faith adventure with Christ has a corporate character. It's not just about Jesus and me. Inherent in our corporate faith is the reality of the idea of togetherness. And if we should journey through life going together and attempting each day one step at a time to go far. There's an African proverb that I really like. It says, if you want to travel fast, go alone. If you want to travel far, go together. That resonates with me. The word saint we find in its singular form and only three times in the Bible. That's kind of interesting to me. So by contrast to that, the word saint in its plural form appears, I think around 95 times if I read the commentary or counted them up correctly. So where saints is written in the New Testament, it always refers to the church, the collective family of God. And so when we join the community by grace through faith, we are adopted not as only children. I was the middle child, and I many times just wanted to be the only child. And I had two perfect sisters on either side of me. That was a little bit of a struggle sometimes. But, you know, middle children have to learn to survive. So But when we join God's family, we join a loving family with many, many siblings of many, many kinds and shapes and sizes. So we are the children of God, Romans 8:17 says, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. By the time we read in Acts 2:42, we read that the church was formed of believers who were together and had everything in common. So being together, this being together and going far together, means far more than gathering in the same room or even eating together, which we seem to like to do. Or this godly togetherness means that together we worship, we pray, we give, we make disciples. We help each other. We help each other when things are going badly. We help each other when things are going well. This kingdom idea of kingdom living embraces God in worship and mission, and it does that in multilingual, transnational, cross-generational, and multicultural settings. So the question that I ask then is, how in the world is that possible? How in the world is that possible? Spirit of God transforms our individual-oriented inwardness to a corporate oneness in Christ. That kind of unity produces a community of shared lives and purposes. And so somehow, in God's marvelous mercy and grace, when we put our strengths and our abilities together with God, the mission is then accomplished. The gospel is proclaimed, and the kingdom of God is extended. Hallelujah to that. It's not a solo path, but a togetherness journey. So Augustine wrote something along this line. I'm going to translate it loosely. I had not known Christ except that the church had taught me. Amen to that. I can say amen to that. I went to Eastern Nazarene College. I was not a Christian when I attended Nazarene College. My father said if I was going to college, I had to go to a Nazarene school. And so I went to Eastern Nazarene College. And there I learned about a community of people. I did not accept Christ even through my years of being at ENC. But I always knew that there was something unique and very special about these Christian people. I guess I just wasn't willing to put my full foot in the water. I just wanted to sprinkle my toe there a little bit. And until we jump all the way in, we don't understand that community, do we? It's time for the church, be it Nazarene, be it other churches, a church universal, ought to be renewing our covenant with God so that by his grace, we will really be the church, the God-created body of Christ on earth. And it's only then that we will become a God-sent, missional people who covenant together to belong to God, to be holy, to be the image of God, following Christ wherever he takes us into our world. So let's not be fooled by our self-loving, narcissistic culture. It is not just about Jesus and me. I know there are times that we need to be in the prayer closet with just Jesus and me, but there are many, many times when it should be really Jesus and us. So we go together, we travel far. Why did God, the Trinity, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God, three in one, why did Jesus create human beings? One of the more people I meet in my life and the more people that probably meet me say, why? That's a good question. Genesis 2:18-23 says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper for his complement. So we know the rest of the story. He formed out of the ground, he formed every wild animal. And then he made man, and out of the man with the rib, he made the woman. And he finally says in that last verse there, this one at last is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for she was taken from man. So all of that to say, God wanted. I actually question that he probably in some level, if God could need anything, is he needed community. He wanted people. He wanted us in our imperfections, which he knew we would have. He brought the world into existence, and as the capstone of his good work, he created persons, people, females, males. He created them in his image so that they could share in his overflowing love, grace, and goodness through their relationships with the Trinity. That is absolutely fascinating to me. We come to Jesus. We come to him in saving faith. We don't come to him because our parents were good people or preachers or missionaries. Wouldn't that be nice if that happened? But what if your parents weren't good and nice people? But all of us can come to Jesus, no matter where we find us. I attend a Native American church here in New Mexico now, but for some time off and on, I attended the Sandia Church of the Nazarene, which is a very interesting mission field in the middle of what is called the war zone in Albuquerque. It's a fascinating place where they provide showers and food and clothes for the street people, for prostitutes. I once had a student, you might have heard of her, Jenny Noriega, asked me one class evening if she could bring some of her girls. Could I bring the girls into the church? She had three daughters and a son. So my thought was, oh, I guess she didn't bring her son. I guess she just wants to bring her daughters in here. Maybe they're out. I don't know. It was February. It was cold. To my surprise, she walked into the church with, I think three or four, maybe more, prostitutes who were walking the streets up and down in front of the church on what is affectionately called Route 66. And she said, they just need a little time to sit in here and be warm because the men, the pimps that are making them work, are treating them badly tonight. I immediately called the pastor, Pete, and said, I got these women, a little old-fashioned panic in my voice and in my nature. And he said, just make sure they leave. Just make sure they go back outside for the night. And sadly, we had to do that. That church exists in the middle of the most horrible part of Albuquerque. Why? So that we can be the light and the gospel and peace and food and shelter and warm showers to people who, just like us, even if we didn't do any of those things, desperately need to know who Christ is, who he can be in our lives. So John, who lived in the Isle of Patmos all by himself, was banished there because of his truth and belief in faith in the gospel. He had an extraordinary experience living there, writing the book that we would read. Human beings were never meant to live in isolation. Reuben Welsh, a long time ago, wrote a book that said, we really do need each other. Kind of seemed like a simple book. Profound. And we really do. We desperately need, in our fractured world today, in our world that is torn up every way we can think of it, psychologically, politically, socially, economically, we are in a fight with each other. Some way, sometime, every day of our lives, we need desperately to be aware. We need to know about. We need to try and understand the brothers and sisters who haven't come into the family yet, but just by the mere fact that they are human beings, they're walking on this earth, they have a soul. It might not be living for God now, but if we will live the light of Christ and be Christ before them, oh my goodness. What can happen? And one of my many, many students throughout Central America and the United States, I think of a Jenny Noriega. There's some other people that are students who haven't made that kind of splash in the Christian world, but they've done marvelous and wonderful things for the individuals in their churches that they have been able to preach to and lead to Christ. So the question I come to at the end of Travel Far, Go Together is, what am I doing? And I'd be bold enough to say, what are you doing today to make sure that somebody will see Christ? Somebody will know something more about Christ than they knew before. And most of all, somebody will see the love of Christ shining through our faces. And it might entice them in ways we can't even imagine to want to know who Jesus Christ is. Let our light shine, we say. Well, let's let our light shine. Let's be light. We reflect the light of Christ. The world needs us. It needs Christ, and it will see Christ through us if we are willing. If we're not doing the best we can, let's stop and take account. As Dr. Bowling said, it's Lent. It's time to reflect. I don't know if you gave up chocolate, or I don't know if you gave up coffee. I don't eat chocolate, and I don't drink coffee, so I didn't have anything to give up this year. So it was pretty okay, and I haven't given up cookies yet, so not going to do that. But let's stop. Let's take a 40-day account or a 365-day account of our life, and let's decide on purpose. to travel far and to go together. And with if we do that with Jesus and others, this world will be a better place. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to walk with you today. Help us to be your light. Help us to be your peace, your grace, your mercy, your words. Our world needs you. Let us be you. Amen.